This is Lorne Greene. Not every famous outlaw in the Old West met his fate in a hail of bullets or at the end of a noose. A great many of them lived to a ripe old age. Frank James, for example, Jesse's brother, was 71 years old when he died of natural causes. But life as they grew older was not always easy for these men of action, deprived of their livelihoods by age and the changing of the West. Sometimes the rigors of peaceful retirement were worse than dodging a sheriff's posse.
Now, Grandpa, you put those dishes down. I'll get to them in a minute.
I ain't helpless, Sarah. You don't give me enough to do around here.
Oh, that's not true, Grandpa. You can manicure the hedge.
Manicure the hedge? I'd rather wash the dishes.
But the hedge does need manicuring, and, the petunias need potting, and there's a large load of mulch out back for the daffodils.
Hedges, petunias, daffodils. What do we need so many gold-blamed flowers for, anyway? If we gotta plant something, why can't it be corn or tomatoes?
Well, that'd ruin the yard.
Exactly. Let's plow up all that dad-blamed grass, too.
Grandpa, it's the year 1905. We don't live in the country. We live in a town. We don't plant tomatoes. We buy them from the market. It's not the same as it used to be.
I'm sorry, Sarah. I forget myself sometimes. I ought to be thankful to have a place to live besides the jail or the poorhouse. It's just that I miss Missouri sometimes.
Missouri's not the same as it used to be either. The West is growing up. None of it's wild and lawless anymore.
Lawless? Lawless. Did you know that used to be my nickname?
In your outlaw days. Yeah, Grandpa, I know. Oh, that reminds me. I have a couple new suitors coming over tonight, and I'd appreciate it if you didn't tell them your outlaw story.
New suitors? Hey, more mealy-mouthed, pale-faced pencil pushers, I imagine. Don't you ever meet any real men?
There's nothing wrong with working in an office. I work in one.
And you're a girl.
Just behave yourself tonight, Grandpa.
And that is only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, Lawless Brewster, by John Bornholt. Our stars, John Daner, Joan McCall, and Jack Bannon.
Sarah Brewster and her grandfather, Harlan, live in a little yellow cottage on the outskirts of Casper, Wyoming. The year is 1905. Sarah is an attractive young woman of marrying age, and Harlan, well, Harlan, as he is quick to tell you, is an ex-bank and train robber. There's a great demand for an attractive young woman of marrying age, but very little for an old, washed-up outlaw.
Well, there it is. The yellow one at the end of the street. Just like she said.
Gosh, I'm nervous.
Well, don't be. Sarah's a real sweet girl.
I know. That's why I'm nervous. Thanks for coming along, Paul.
Don't thank me. I'm interested in her, too. Remember, it's every man for himself.
All right. Is my tie straight?
Yeah.
I didn't use too much pomade on my hair, did I?
No, but I doubt if it'll blow much in the wind.
Sarah lives with her grandfather, doesn't she?
Yeah, but I'm sure he's a sweet old guy. Just like her. Let's go.
Remember, Grandpa, I want you to behave yourself when Paul and William get here.
Behave myself? Meaning you want me to keep quiet?
Well, not entirely. Just remember, they're here to see me.
Mealy mouth, pencil pushers.
Pardon me?
Oh, nothing. Never mind.
There they are.
Good evening, Sarah.
Good evening, Sarah.
Good evening, Paul. Good evening, William. Won't you come in? Grandfather, this is Paul Latshaw and William Holmby.
Good evening, sir.
This is my grandfather, Harlan Brewster.
Ever heard of me?
No, sir. I don't believe I have.
Ever heard of Jesse James?
Well, of course.
Who hasn't?
Well, I used to know Jesse. Used to ride with him, in fact. I was with Jesse in 1874 when we robbed that express train at Gad's Hill. You should have seen it.
Grandfather, why don't we all go into the parlor and sit down? Then we can talk about books or art.
Books or art? Well, fine. You all go right ahead. I'll be in a little while.
Would anybody like some lemonade?
Then there's this French fella named Jules Verne, who writes about the most fantastic things. Flying airships, boats which travel underwater, life on other planets. I tell you, he almost makes you believe it.
And what about H.G. Wells? Now there's a man who's ahead of his time.
Did you read The Time Machine?
Oh, wonderful story.
Yeah, well, do you read much, Mr. Brewster?
Not a lick. I know enough wonderful stories without reading any.
Grandpa.
Hush, Sarah. But these boys would like to hear a real story. What about the time they lynched big-nosed George Parrott? They dragged him right out of his cell, they did, the whole dad-blame town. And it weren't more than a few miles from here in Rawlins, Wyoming. Big Nose and me used to ride together with none other than Butch Cassidy.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, but we used to knock off a lot of banks together by ourselves.
And you, you say this big nose person was lynched?
Oh, yeah, yeah, and buried in a barrel. They cut off his skin to make a pair of shoes in a doctor's medicine bag.
Grandpa!
Well, it's the truth.
Yeah, law enforcement has improved a great deal since then, Mr. Brewster. Why, if Jesse James tried to rob a bank today, he'd be caught before he got halfway out the door.
Don't you believe it? We were experts back then. Law enforcement ain't no better now. The robbers are just worse. There ain't nobody around today who could rob a train like the James gang used to. Hell, the trains ain't so different. We had it worked out to a fine science. There was this time in Winston, Missouri.
Grandpa.
When I...
Grandpa. They didn't come here to hear about train robberies.
Those were different times, Mr. Brewster. From what I've read, just after the Civil War, many Confederate sympathizers hid and protected the outlaws from what they perceived to be Union soldiers. That wouldn't be the case today.
Bull feathers. The only protection a man had was a good aim and a fast heart.
That's another case in point. There's not so much open range today. Escape from a posse wouldn't be nearly as easy.
Easy? You think it was easy robbing banks for a living? Well, I'd like to see you pasty-faced pencil pushers try it.
Grandpa, that's enough.
It's all right, Sarah. I'm sure at his age, it must be fun to relive the past, even if it's slightly exaggerated.
Exaggerated? All right, young'un, that's going too far. If my granddaughter wasn't here, I'd clean the floor with you. But as it is, I'll just ask you to leave.
Grandpa, you're the one who should leave. Now, I want you to apologize to Paul and William.
Oh, that's not necessary, Sarah. I think it's time to leave anyway, but I think you're wrong, Mr. Brewster, to romanticize those days of violence and lawlessness.
If you don't get out of here in 5 seconds, you'll see some real violence. They didn't call me Lawless Brewster for nothing.
Sensible people just don't go around robbing banks anymore, Mr. Brewster. It's impossible.
You, who's never done anything more dangerous than fasten your suspenders, you. You's gonna tell me it's impossible to rob a bank? I could rob one this very minute if I felt like it.
Grandpa, I don't want to hear another word. I'm terribly sorry for all this, boys. I hope you'll both accept my invitation to come again sometime.
It's all right, Sarah. I understand. My grandfather's not well either.
Oh! Oh.
Good night, sir.
Good night, sir.
I hope you're happy, Grandfather. That's 2 more suitors I won't ever see again.
You didn't want either one of them flabby bootlickers anyway. If you can't have a real man, you're better off without any.
Tell me that when I'm an old maid. Oh, I really am ashamed of you, Grandpa. I begged you to behave yourself.
I did behave myself. I didn't strangle them, did I?
Just think of the things you said.
I am thinking of them. I'm thinking real hard.
Harlan, alias Lawless Brewster, is a man who knows his own mind. And once he's made up his mind to do something, it nearly always gets done.
What are you doing?
Morning, Sarah. Nice day, ain't it?
Grandpa, what are you doing?
I'm cleaning my pistol.
Why?
Because it ain't been cleaned in a long time.
Why do you have to have a clean pistol?
Because if the barrel plugs up, you can shoot yourself in the face.
Who are you planning to shoot at?
Nobody, I hope.
Then why are you doing this?
Can you keep a secret, darling?
I can try.
I'm making my return.
Return? To where?
No. Not to a place. To a way of life. Back to something I know. This retirement stuff ain't working out. I gotta get back to work. Seeing those two fellas last night made me realize it, and I sure don't want to end up like them.
Grandpa, what kind of work do you have in mind?
Why, robbing banks, of course.
Did I hear you say you were going to rob banks?
Only one or two. That should give me a good enough nest egg. Then I'll hightail it to Mexico.
Do you feel all right, Grandpa?
Never felt better. I never felt better in years.
Now what, Grandpa?
I'm making a model of the bank.
The bank in Casper?
Yeah, might as well start there. I noticed that on Thursdays they bring in the payroll from the mine.
Grandpa!
I've had my eye on that bank ever since I moved here. Old habits are hard to break. It seems to be quietest just around 11 o'clock in the morning.
Then you really are serious. You actually plan to rob a bank?
Of course. What other kind of business do I know?
You can't do it, Grandpa. I won't allow it.
Now, don't worry. I won't get caught.
Caught? You might get killed. This is ridiculous. You're 68 years old. You can't seriously consider robbing a bank.
I've done it plenty of times before.
30 years ago. I won't let you do it.
Sarah, when I told you about this, you promised to keep it a secret. I didn't think any kin of mine would ever turn me in.
I'm not going to turn you in. I just don't want to see you go back to that place.
Well, then let me do it. The only way you can stop me is to turn me into the law. I won't cause you no trouble, I promise.
No, Grandpa, it's crazy.
Do you think I'm crazy?
I didn't say that.
They did when they put me in that gall-blamed home. But that's why I'm going to do this, to prove once and for all that I am not crazy, that I'm still good.
But if you get away with it, nobody will know but you and me.
That's enough.
You know how your friend Big Nose George Parrot ended up.
Yeah, at least he didn't die of boredom.
This is it. My only hope. Excuse me.
Hmm? Oh, pardon me. I was absorbed in this book. It's all about phrenology.
I was looking for the new sheriff. Bert Walsh, I think his name is.
You believe it? These people think you can spot criminal tendencies like by the bone structure of the face. Seems like a lot of bunk to me.
I really have to see the sheriff.
Well, fine. Have a seat.
Where is he?
Right here. I'm Bert Walsh.
But, well, you're awfully young to be a sheriff. And your accent, aren't you an Easterner?
I wasn't aware that one had to be a weather-beaten old cowboy to be sheriff. I was duly appointed by the town council 6 weeks ago after Sheriff Hardy retired, and I will serve until the election in November, which I fully expect to win.
Awfully sure of yourself, aren't you?
Ma'am, I'm a new breed of law enforcement officer. I've studied for this position at Boston College. I have had several other job offers besides this one.
And why did you come here?
To see the West. before this, I'd never been west of Virginia. I wanted to see the wild, untamed West while there was still some of it left to tame.
Mr. Walsh, I have a very difficult problem, and I sincerely hope you can help me.
Should I take notes?
No, I think you can remember it. To put it simply, my grandfather wants to rob a bank.
He does. Did you tell him that that could be dangerous?
It's no laughing matter, Mr. Walsh. He knows perfectly well how dangerous it could be, since he used to rob banks for a living. I have come to you with a serious problem, and I don't expect to be laughed at.
I'm sorry, Miss...
Brewster. Sarah Brewster.
Miss Brewster. Are you sure it's all that serious? I mean, lots of older people have peculiar fantasies.
He is not peculiar. As I told you, he knows how to rob banks, and he might just very well go ahead and do it. 30 years ago, he would have had no problem.
Now, Miss Brewster, let's not exaggerate.
I am not exaggerating. He is a first-class bank robber, or was. He used to ride with Jesse James and others of that sort. Well, I only tell you this so that you'll help me.
Miss Brewster, I can't do anything if he hasn't committed a crime. Perhaps you'd be better off talking to a doctor.
A doctor? You haven't been listening to me at all. I came here to save you some trouble. I'll just have to try to talk him out of it. But I'll tell you one thing, Mr. Sheriff. It's a good thing for you that women haven't got the vote. Because this is one vote you wouldn't get.
Sarah, where you been? I got something I want to show you.
I just had some errands to do after work.
You didn't tell anyone about my plans, did you?
Wouldn't make any difference if I did.
Pardon?
Oh, nothing, Grandpa. What have you got to show me?
Yeah, he's out back.
He?
Come on, come on. Yeah. Ain't he a beaut?
Grandpa, what do we need a horse for?
We don't need one. I need one to make my getaway.
Grandpa.
I pulled out all my savings and bought him at the livery stable. I ain't given him a name yet.
Oh, Grandpa, there's hardly room for the two of us here. Where are we going to keep him?
Right here in the yard. I already bought hay and oats for him.
But we don't have room. We don't even have a barn.
Now don't you worry about it, darling. He won't be here very long.
Why not?
Because I'm holding up the bank next week.
Sarah Brewster may think she made no impression upon the young sheriff, Bert Walsh, but that is not entirely the case.
Dear Miss Brewster, in regards to our conversation of yesterday, the 12th, I have thought the matter over and wish to apologize for my rude and unseemly behavior. Unseemly. Uncalled for. Untypical. Dear Miss Brewster, in regards to our conversation of yesterday, the 12th. Miss Brewster, how good to see you again.
Good afternoon, Sheriff. I'm not particularly glad to see you again, but I happen to be desperate. Here are some old newspaper clippings of my grandfather's.
They're reports of robberies.
Read them.
The infamous Black Hole Gang, led by Lawless Brewster and Enos McBride, has struck again in another daring daylight robbery. The object of the armed assault was the Missouri Trust Bank located in...
Read this one.
The James Gang, whose members are said to include Cole and Jim Younger, Charlie Pitts, Lawless Brewster... Lawless Brewster? Is this your grandfather?
That's right. He may be an old man, but if he says he's going to rob another bank, I think we can take him at his word.
Maybe I was hasty in dismissing him out of hand.
Maybe you were.
But the fact is, there's still not much I can do. You want me to arrest him for conspiracy to commit a robbery?
No, I don't want him arrested. He'd never understand it if I betrayed his confidence. All he really wants is some recognition. You can tell from those clippings he used to be in the limelight. If he could feel important again, well, maybe he'd forget this crazy idea about robbing a bank.
I suppose, but who's going to make him feel important?
You are.
Me?
You're coming over to my house for dinner tonight. I think it would be a good idea if Grandpa met our competent young sheriff. It might help to dissuade him.
But I thought you had a low opinion of me as sheriff.
Grandpa doesn't know that. Shall we say 7 o'clock, or is that too early for you?
No, that's fine. But what reason do I have to come over to your house for dinner?
You're one of my suitors, of course.
That smells real good, Sarah. What's the occasion?
Doesn't my cooking usually smell good?
Oh, yeah, it does. But we don't have both lima beans and sweet potatoes, except for Christmas. And this looks like more than you and me can eat.
We're having a guest for dinner.
No, not another gall-blamed suitor. Who is it this time?
Rest assured, he doesn't work in an office. He's the new sheriff.
The sheriff? You invited the sheriff to my house when I'm planning a robbery?
It's my house, Grandpa. And besides, he has no way of knowing your plans unless somebody tells him. But he does know who you are. In fact, he's very interested in meeting you.
He is, huh? Well, of course he is. A good sheriff has got to learn how to think like an outlaw. Hell, a lot of my friends went into the lawman business after they gave up on outlawing. Come to think of it, it's like working the same ferry but on the other side of the river.
He'll be here in half an hour. Maybe you better hide your model of the bank.
Maybe I better.
Oh, that was delicious, Miss Brewster.
Please call me Sarah. Would you like more potatoes?
Bert.
Pardon me?
Bert. Call me Bert.
Hey, Bert. I don't think I told you about the Columbia bank robbery when Jesse had to shoot this judge in the hand because he threw a chair at him, huh?
It really was delicious, Sarah.
Thank you, Bert.
Or Big Springs in 77 when me and Sam Bass robbed this train, and it took the train so long to get back to the station that me and Sam Bass was already having a drink in a saloon in Ogallala, and they asked us to join the posse, the same posse that was looking for us. Ha, 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 ha.
Yes. You know, Sarah, I haven't had a meal like that since I left to go to college. Since I came west, I've been eating in the hotel 3 times a day. That really was delicious.
Thank you, Bert. I believe my grandfather was telling you a story.
No. You two young'uns don't need no coot like me around. I'll just go out back and see how Thunderstreak is doing.
Thunderstreak?
My horse.
Well, that was wonderful, Sheriff. Just wonderful. You're supposed to be playing up to my grandfather, not me.
Then why did you cook such a terrific dinner?
Well, it was an accident.
All right. You stay here. I'll go out back and talk to him.
Try to look interested.
There, Thunderstreak. That's a good boy. That's a real good boy.
He's a fine animal, Mr. Brewster.
I think so. He's a little past his prime, I suspect, but then so am I.
Must be tough sometimes living such a quiet life after all the things you've done.
Quiet ain't the word. Deadly is more like it. I had more fun in the pen. At least you had something to look forward to when you got out. Now, don't get me wrong. Sarah's done right well by me. I didn't even know I had a granddaughter until she looked me up in that home.
Home?
Yeah, some kind of place the county runs for indig. What do you call them?
Indigents.
Right. I never knew I was one of those, but I guess I was. So after I got out of the Missouri pen the last time, I didn't have no place to go, and all my friends were dead. So I got drunk. I woke up in this place, and they said I had to stay there. Why, it was worse than the pen, and I'd been in every kind of pen from Union stockades to county jails. It was lucky for me. They trace your family, as a matter of course. And Sarah is the daughter of my son Tom, whom I saw maybe three times in my life, but he never told her about me. Tom and his wife died in a fire, of all things, in a hotel in San Francisco. Sarah didn't have any family left, so I guess that's why she told him she'd take me in. And that was just over, well, a year ago. But don't get me wrong, I love Sarah, but this ain't the life for me.
Well, you've got to accept old age, Mr. Brewster. It slows everyone down.
I ain't slow. It's the time around me. It's too fast. I miss those days, living like an outlaw.
Why'd you become an outlaw, Mr. Brewster? No stories, and just the plain truth.
Because I liked it. Because it was exciting. Of course, I never would have known I liked it if it hadn't been for the Civil War. That war made outlaws out of all of us. The James boys, the youngers, every one of us. We was peaceful farm boys before the war. But it taught us to loot and kill and live on our own terms, you see. And some of us, the ones who had a knack for living like that, just kept right on doing it after the war. Oh, you hear that? There's some wildness left in the world. And that's the way I want to go out, with a howl. I suspect, Mr. Sheriff, that it's not exactly a coincidence you being here tonight. Oh, you probably got a real enough hankering for Sarah, and Lord knows you're the best one she's had so far. But you're probably here for another reason as well. I don't know how much she told you, but let me tell you one thing. I won't be stopped from doing what I want to do except by a bullet.
I hope that doesn't happen. I'd like to get to know you better, Mr. Brewster.
Call me Lawless.
Lorne Greene again, and here's the fourth act of Lawless Brewster.
Any luck?
No, I can't talk him out of it. He's going to rob that bank tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
Then I'll have to arrest him.
I guess it's the only thing we can do.
Trouble is, I don't know what to charge him with. Chances are he'd be out in a couple of days, then he could go right ahead with the robbery.
All right, let's think of something else.
There is one possibility.
What's that?
We could have him committed to the state mental facility.
No, I'd rather have you shoot him. I won't see him in another one of those places.
Now, we still have a day. Let's try and figure something out.
I still say the only thing we can do is to let him go through with it.
Sarah, you're worse than he is. At least he has a reason. I'm going through the records, and would you believe there's never been a robbery at the Casper Bank? Tellers won't even know how to act. Is that it? Is that the answer? I do believe it is.
What are you mumbling about? The answer to what?
The tellers, of course. They won't know how to act, and they should know how to act.
What are you talking about?
A training exercise, a class. I mean, most fatalities during a robbery occur because somebody panics. Back east, they train the tellers to remain calm and do whatever the robbers say and be observant. And they can accomplish a lot more by remembering what the hold-up men look like than by playing hero and getting themselves shot.
So you're planning to tell them that there's going to be a hold-up?
Right. I mean, we know the exact time and place. Before the bank opens, I'll give the tellers instructions on how to behave during a robbery and what to look for. When your grandfather comes in, they'll be expecting him. It'll be like their graduation. They'll think he's working for me, and they won't try and stop him.
And the money?
Well, the money will be either counterfeit or marked. That's your job. You've got to convince him to turn the money back when it's over.
Oh, but how?
You figure it out. I got to get over to the bank. Is everybody here?
Yes.
Yes.
Fine. I'm Bert Walsh, Sheriff of Casper, and I've been authorized by Arthur Primrose, President of the bank, to instruct you in the proper procedures in case of a holdup. As a teller, what would you do if a man walked into the bank and stuck a gun in your face?
Faint?
No, seriously.
Well, we have a sawed-off shotgun right behind the counter.
No, that is exactly the wrong thing to do. Now, you are not going to outgun a man who already has the draw on you. This day and age, the bank robber is more likely to be caught after the crime. Now, we need you to identify him, and you can't identify anyone if you're dead. What you should do is cooperate thoroughly with the robbers. Do whatever they say and be observant. Memorize everything you can about them, their height, voices, color of their hair, eyes, and clothes, especially anything unusual like a limp or a scar.
I don't think I could remember to do any of that with a gun in my face.
Sure you could. It just takes practice. Now, that's why I've arranged for a mock holdup at 11 o'clock this morning. A man is going to come in and rob the bank at gunpoint. Remember, he's working for me. Cooperate as if it was a real robbery and remember everything you can about him. And afterwards, we'll see how well you did.
Sounds like fun.
What time have you got, Bert?
10 till 11.
Do you think it'll work?
It should. I've even told all the shopkeepers for 2 blocks around so nobody gets excited and starts shooting.
I hope it goes the way you think it will.
Well, they'll be giving your grandfather a mixture of counterfeit and old bills that are going to go back to the mint to be burned. Have you figured out how to get him to give the money back?
Oh, I think so. I told him I wanted to see him back at the house before he takes it on the run. Bert, will you help me?
Certainly. What can I do for you?
Marry me.
Marry you?
Marry me. I think if I was planning to marry a sheriff, that would make a pretty convincing argument for him to turn himself in.
But do you want to marry me?
Yes, Bert. I do. That is, unless you like eating at the hotel every night.
No, I mean, yes.
Well, I hope you don't mind me not waiting for you to ask me. But I've always believed in being practical. I mean, we've been headed in that direction, and there's no need to stop now, is there?
When did you decide this?
Oh, I'll have to tell you later. There's my grandfather. Ooh, he looks quite handsome on horseback with that wide-brimmed hat and long cotton coat.
Those coats went out of style 15 years ago.
He says he likes those long coats because they hide his guns.
Oh, brother. I hope this works.
I'm going back to the house to wait for him. Now, you better stay out of sight.
Sarah.
Yes?
Whatever happens, I do want to marry you.
I'm delighted to hear you say that, Bert. And I accept your proposal.
Easy, boy. Easy now, Thunder Street. Don't get nervous. Remember, I've been through this all before. We won't get greedy. Just take a bag or two. Just enough to rest for a while down in Mexico. Or maybe Canada. You think you'd like Canada? No. Me neither. It's too cold. Well, here we are. Yeah. All right, folks. Hands up. This here's a holdup. Stay calm, ma'am. I don't want nothing from you. Fill up this bag.
Certainly, sir. That's a very nice gun you have there.
Pardon?
I also like your purple bandana with the polka dots.
Just fill up the bag, Milton.
About 5'9", aren't you, sir?
What?
I'd say you're about 5'9".
What are you, a doctor or a teller? Just fill up the bag.
Oh, certainly, sir.
You know, sir, I've always wanted a holster like that. Where did you get it, if I may ask?
Jesse James gave it to me.
Of course he did. Very clever.
Here you go, sir.
Thanks.
Now you can shoot your gun.
What?
Isn't that the way a robbery always ends? You shoot your gun at the ceiling or something?
Don't tempt me.
Grandpa, are you all right?
Oh, fine. I waited until dark and came in the back door in case they was looking for me.
Did it go all right?
Yeah, but it wasn't as exciting as I remember it. Them two pipsqueak tellers looked downright glad to see me.
Did you get much money?
No, I ain't even looked at it. I suppose there's enough.
Enough for what?
Enough to go to Mexico and hide out.
You know you don't have to do that. I talked to Bert, and he's willing to go easy on you if you give yourself up and turn the money in.
You told Bert? Oh, of course you did, darling. I wouldn't expect you to do otherwise. Well, at least I pulled it off. I did what I set out to do.
Grandpa, Bert has asked me to marry him.
He has. Well, good for you.
You're not angry?
Angry? Bert's the best man in these parts. Even if he is a Yankee, he should shape into a real nice husband.
But I won't marry him if you go on the run. I wouldn't want my husband hunting down my grandfather.
That sort of puts me over a barrel.
I love you, Grandpa. I don't want you to go away.
Come here, darling. I never had no kind of family before. It does make a fella think differently.
You've been on the move for a long time, Grandpa. Don't you think it's time you finally settled down?
On one condition.
What's that?
I get to keep my horse.
Even outlaws must face the inevitability of retirement one day. And at 68, one would think it was high time for Lawless Brewster to lay his guns to rest. But don't be surprised if we have not heard the last of Lawless Brewster.
Okay, Sheriff, here I am. I'm giving myself up.
He's repented, Bert.
And here's the money.
I'm glad you decided to do this, Mr. Brewster.
How much time do you think I'll get?
None.
None?
No. I convinced the bank not to press charges. I told them you were working for me and that you would bring the money back.
Well, how could you know that?
I have faith in your granddaughter.
Yeah, but the other part, why should they believe that I am working for you?
Because you are working for me.
I am.
He is.
Approval from the town council came through today. I now have enough funds to hire a deputy. Job's yours if you want it.
Deputy?
Oh, Bert, that's great. You'll make a terrific deputy, Grandpa.
Me? A deputy?
You have unique experience in the criminal area that I can use. But the job doesn't pay much, I'm afraid.
Why, I can't believe it. Me? A lawman?
Well, you have to learn the job quickly, because when I marry Sarah, I plan to take her on a honeymoon.
Ooh.
And you'll be in charge.
Well, when do I start?
As far as everyone around here knows, you started yesterday. And there's one thing you'll have to change, though.
What's that?
Your nickname. From now on, we'll have to call you Lawful Brewster.
Oh, Law? Lawful!
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, Lawless Brewster, was written by John Bornholt and produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your host was Lorne Green. Our stars were John Daner, Joan McCall, and Jack Bannon. Featured in the cast were Corey Burton and Stanley Warshnow. John Harlan speaking. The Elliott Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI. Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you in part by Sears, a name that means quality and value, a name that you can count on for service and dependability. Sears, where America shops for value.
This is Andy Griffin. Tomorrow at this same time, by golly, we're going to work on your funny bone. Join us, won't you? Just for laughs.